Stop 3. Historian Jennifer M. Rampling on the Ripley Scroll.
I'm Jennifer Rampling, a historian of science and medicine at Princeton University. I work on alchemy, especially the group of curious alchemical manuscripts collectively known as the Ripley Scrolls. These are named after an English alchemist, George Ripley, who worked during the 1470s and acquired a great reputation as an alchemist who had made the Philosopher's Stone. The stone was an artificial substance supposedly capable of transmuting base metals into gold and silver, healing sickness, and preserving youth and beauty. Ripley also wrote alchemical poems, which may explain how his name came to be attached to this group of spectacular scrolls, which translate the mysteries of the stone into images and verse. The Ripley scroll before you is a 17th century reproduction of a late 15th century scroll. It's highly decorative, drawn in black pen and painted with watercolours on paper mounted on linen. Unrolled in a glass display case, the roll is 168 centimetres long and 60 centimetres wide. Parts of it are faded and fragile from age and use, particularly towards the top, but the bright colours of the inks and images are still largely preserved. The scroll is surrounded by a double border. Along the outer edge, a thin band of pink. On the inside, a 10-centimetre-wide strip of decorative foliage in pale greens, ochres, and pinks. This border runs the full length of the scroll, leaving plenty of space in the middle for verses and illustrations. Here, the work of alchemy is translated into allegorical figures and scenes. The first panel at the top of the scroll is dominated by the large figure of a philosopher, a pale-skinned, bearded man in a fur-trimmed hat, wearing a brown tunic trimmed with gold. He clasps a gigantic glass flask, reminding viewers that alchemy is both a philosophical and a practical art. Inside the vessel, miniature scenes take us through the steps for making the Philosopher's Stone. The steps are depicted using the allegorical figures of a man and woman who stand in for chemical substances. Placed inside miniature flasks, they die and are resurrected into a single female figure. The giant flask is partly full of dark liquid and also contains the larger figure of a toad. This toad is a symbol of the prime matter of the alchemical work, a crude, impure substance that will eventually be perfected through a combination of natural processes and the alchemist's art. Like the smaller human figures, the toad must die and putrefy before it can be made pure. A caption titles this panel, "The Black Sea." Moving down, the second panel shows a huge double fountain. Above, a seven-sided stone structure, crenellated like a castle, contains the White Sea. Below, a square structure contains the Red Sea, although in this version of the scroll, the artist uses more yellow than red. In the upper fountain stand two naked figures, one male and one female, the sun and moon, here signifying the precious metals gold and silver. They stand ankle-deep in water, eating grapes from a vine that coils around a large tree growing between them. A female figure descends headfirst from the tree's canopy. Half-human, but with the feet of a toad and the tail of a serpent, she embraces the glowing body of a child. This hybrid figure is the philosophical Mercury, used to draw the soul, symbolized by the child, out of its parents, the metals. At the same time, the artist plays with the biblical iconography of the Garden of Eden, in which a serpent tempts Adam and Eve. The resulting design fuses imagery from medieval Arabic and Latin alchemy, the wedding of sun and moon, with the fall of man described in the Book of Genesis. Below the White Sea, we come to the red, four-sided to represent the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. It is also populated by three human figures, here representing the three parts of the stone, body, soul, and spirit. Beneath the double fountain, we encounter a series of alchemical beasts, a winged green dragon, and a pair of lions, one red and one green. These creatures represent chemical solvents, capable of devouring the metals. For instance, the dragon attacks a toad, signifying the dissolution of an imperfect metallic body, the toad, in a mercury-based solvent. Once digested, this matter will be reborn in a new and purified form as the precious elixir vitae. In earlier copies of the scroll, the empty space beneath the toad and dragon is filled with verses, which celebrate the transformation of the dragon from the white stone to the red, and finally into an elixir of life, represented by the dragon's blood. This section ends with the proclamation, "Here is the last of the red stone and the beginning to put away the dead, the elixir vitae." Like a modern advertisement for beauty products, the scroll design emphasizes glamorous imagery and scientific authority rather than the technical details of workaday chemistry. Its goal is to present alchemy in a positive light, as an ancient secret science worthy of the king's support. Step by step, the design translates unfamiliar laboratory practices and ingredients into an exquisite advertisement for the art, persuading audiences that the beauty of alchemy is far from skin deep.
End of stop 3. The next track is stop 4. Professor Caroline Vaught on the Esquiline Venus and the Sleeping Hermaphroditus. Just follow the tactile floor line to the next grey square.